Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the first in a very special series of Three Martini Lunches. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Yes, it is time for our end-of-the-year awards. We shamelessly lifted these from the McLaughlin Group, and so all credit and apologies to them for us using these different categories. Over the next several editions of the Three Martini Lunch, we're going to be looking at all sorts of different best, worst, most from the past year, politically speaking. And imagine us in our finery, as they always do on the McLaughlin Group, in formal attire and so forth. But we have three, as always, martinis today. Number one, Jim, and obviously in an election year, there's so many different options for all these awards this year. Most overrated political figure.
You know, I'm going to go with a fairly predictable choice. A little more groundbreaking in the other categories of the day. I also must emphasize we're generally talking about the realms of politics. Otherwise, my nomination would be New York Jets coach Rex Ryan. exceptionally overrated and disappointing and heartbreaking. And, you know, oh, he's the best defensive genius ever. Anyway, I'm sorry to say my award winner for the most overrated figure or figures of the year are Stu Stevens and the Mitt Romney presidential campaign high command. I don't think they're necessarily bad people, but they were wildly overconfident. I think you look back over the course of this campaign, other than preparing for that first debate, it's hard to say what this team really did excellently in this campaign. I think we could also argue that Romney's performance in the subsequent two debates were kind of disappointing. The television ads mostly turned into kind of background noise during a very contentious election season. The convention did not get the audience it needed because the hurricane was going on, hitting the Gulf Coast. We know the problems the get-out-the-vote tracking system Orca had blowing up on Election Day. I've heard some post-election talk that the Romney campaign was terrible and awful. You know, I don't think they were terrible. This is last time I checked, the campaign had something like 60.7 million votes, the fourth highest total in U.S. history. So I don't want to whack them around like a pinata for the holiday season endlessly. But clearly there was nothing that was innovative or game-changing in this campaign. And I think it ended up being too safe, too conventional, and it fell short. And so I think Stu Stevens is rather overrated as a campaign manager. And I think the rest of the Romney campaign folks may have worked on their last presidential campaign. Just not a lot to point to that said, you know, swell job, guys.
Yeah, excellent choice given the conditions on the ground, how beatable the president should have been, and ultimately didn't happen. Orca was very high on my list of nominees, but did not quite get there. Mine were in the world of punditry and prognostication, and it's a twofer. Ooh. It's a twofer. One Dick Morris and one Karl Rove. Dick Morris, once again, proving that he wears the rosiest glasses of all time. He's the one who predicted in 2010 that Republicans would go from barely being able to sustain a filibuster to a majority. That did not happen. Now he predicted a Romney landslide, which obviously did not happen, and then had the gumption to say that he didn't really think that was going to happen, but he just thought it was his duty to make that prediction. Well, sorry to inform you, Dick, but your optimism doesn't necessarily change the way that vast swaths of the voting public believe. Karl Rove also wrong in his prognostications. I'll give him a little less grief for that. However, Crossroads GPS spent a lot of money in a lot of races, and almost none of them actually made any difference. And
$104 million, I believe, was the last count, and I think that maybe 3% of their candidates won.
Yeah, that's not a good track record. Fortunately for Karl Rove, his most important client won a couple of times, but the last Super PAC performance from Crossroads GPS and his general analysis, his little meltdown over Ohio on election night, wasn't his finest moment either. So not a good year for either one of those guys yet. Something tells me they'll still have regular slots on the O'Reilly factor. Jim, on to most underrated political figure.
Sure. And, you know, obviously in a year that's lousy for the right, kind of tough to look for this, but I think a pretty strong nominee. I'm going to say Nevada Senator Dean Heller, who won a hard-fought race. He was appointed a couple of years back and had to run for re-election his first full year first time standing before the voters of Nevada as a senator. This was a state that Obama won and won fairly handily. This is a state where Harry Reid won fairly well, and the Democrats had a really good turnout machine in Nevada. Everybody kind of knew this. So how did Dean Heller win? Very intriguing thing his campaign did. They gathered the names of all newly registered independents. And it's worth noting that Nevada is a state in which people are registering independent much quicker than they are Democrat or Republican. And then they relentlessly called and visited those voters at their doorsteps, particularly in Washoe County. They also decided, you know, at least twice a week, they held a conference call with hundreds of independent voters. So think about it. You register in Nevada for the first time. You register independent, and out of nowhere, the senator is saying, hi, I'd like to do a conference call with you. And very important about this conference call, they did not screen questions twice a week for an hour and a half. They got to hear from him directly about how he did not vote to end Medicare, and they could ask him anything he wanted. And then, you know, this worked. He won independence by 20 points. Now, it's worth noting that the Democrat who was running against Congresswoman Shelley Berkley had a big ethics scandal. There was allegations she had used her office as to help her husband's medical practice. Heller only won by 12,000 votes, so this was not a slam dunk win. But against a very blue tide going on in Nevada, Heller won by, you know, just good old-fashioned politicking and reaching out to independents and new voters. And it worked, and it's something that probably every Republican campaign should be contemplating in 2014 or in the races we have in 2013.
That's a good point. Heller did win in a state that was blue in just about every other way. Kudos to Jeff Flake in the neighboring Arizona. That most of the polls there showed that that was neck and neck, or perhaps that he'd even be in trouble. He ended up winning fairly comfortably, and he's going to be a great, great figure for the conservatives in the United States Senate. He is not my choice, however, for underrated, and this pains me, Jim. I think I should serve up a couple of helpings of a little bit of humble pie here. Mainstream pollsters. We gave them a lot of grief about sample size, which size you're surveying here. Why is the D plus whatever so much more than what we expect it to be? You're basing it on 2008. That's completely unrealistic. Well, sadly, it was very realistic, and they were
only exceptionally mildly unrealistic. Yeah, it wasn't D plus 7. It was only D plus 6.
That's right. So, sadly, they were right on the money, and there's, I guess, another group of people that have some soul-searching to do, and that would be maybe the people behind Unskewed Polls, us in the punditry world, and I glumly admit that they were right on, and we gave them grief that ultimately was unwarranted. On to perhaps a slightly more cheery category to end the session for today, and that's most honest political figure, and as in most years, it's a pretty short list to choose from, Jim.
My nomination is Paul Ryan. No one should doubt this was a lousy year for Republicans and a lousy year for the right. But so, Andrew, look, what is Paul Ryan known for? His budget plan and entitlement reform and plans that, you know, generally get greeted by Metascare. We all remember the infamous, you know, was it MoveOn.org ad of them, him pushing Grant off the cliff and stuff like that. And there's kind of a serious assessment can be made that actually Metascare did not work this time around, that the Romney, you know, Romney clearly lost, but it was not because he lost seniors. In fact, among voters 65 and older, the Romney-Ryan ticket won 58% to 41%. And then you look at the, you know, slightly younger, 45 to 64. They defeated Obama-Biden by 4 points. And this was a group that Obama and Biden won by 5 points last cycle around. So kind of encouraging me. Look, Ryan's whole message is we can't keep doing what we're doing. We can't keep spending what we're spending. Our entitlement programs need serious reform. They're going to be painful for some that aren't going to be popular, but need to be done to, you know, save the program in the long run. And it didn't kill him. So that's kind of an encouraging sign. And I think he gives credit for not soft pedaling things or backtracking on any of his ideals once he was on national ticket. And a little bit of kudos for Mitt Romney for picking him and for not being afraid to run on entitlement reform. I think it added a little bit of substance and meat and backbone to the Romney campaign. It did not succeed, but that doesn't mean it wasn't the right fight to pursue.
Absolutely right. I like the choice then. I like the choice now. And you're right. These are issues that have to be addressed. And as much as we gripe about the American people's decision on Election Day, at least they didn't flinch when it came to the issues that Paul Ryan's been championing for years. Last year, I believe I gave this award to Ron Paul, but since he's retiring, it's time to pass the mantle to his son, Rand Paul. He's extremely blunt, extremely clear in what he believes, and whether it's about the NDAA, the debate recently about potentially Americans being held without charges and trial and so forth. He's been a leader on that. He's very clear, very concise when it comes to fiscal issues. I think he carries himself in a way that seems less, I don't want to say fringish when it comes to Ron Paul, but somehow he's a little more palatable, I think, to folks who aren't instinctively receptive to the Ron Paul message. He comes across as a little bit more mainstream. Not that I generally like to use that word in terms of politics, but Rand Paul is asserting himself. He's even made noise about a 2016 run and would certainly be an interesting figure in the race. But you never have to wonder where he stands on an issue, and that's definitely something to be appreciated.
For all the Ron Paul fans out there, like to say you can direct your comments to Greg Corumbus, Radio America, Arlington, Virginia. No, actually, that's a very good choice. In that, you know, I think Paul Ryan's an honest guy. Rand Paul's an even more honest guy about the Leviathan of government. I think you can safely say that his honesty is deemed a threatening package by TSA since he got extra detained by them. So clearly, Rand Paul's another guy to keep an eye on as being a major player in Washington in the coming years. He will stand out. And, you know, weeks ago we had some discussion of Ashley Judd, the actress, running for Senate in Kentucky. Allegedly she would take on Mitch McConnell. And somebody said, boy, wouldn't you love to see a Rand Paul-Ashley Judd debate? Clash of the Titans there. So with any luck, we'll have Rand Paul to you know, he'll stay honest and you know, become a major player in Washington in the years to come.
Could be a very interesting race. Mitch McConnell, Ashley Judd would be pretty fascinating, too. Talk about a contrast in styles. And before the emails and letters pour in, I would like to once again say I did choose Ron Paul for the award last year. So.
And also, hit your caps lock key first before... had some you know, the ever demure and soft-spoken fans of Ron Paul.
Jimmy, you speak as though you've gotten some emails like this before.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Well, we've just kicked off our end-of-the-year awards, the first of six special editions that will run right up through New Year's Eve. And so we've done overrated, underrated, and honest. Tomorrow we'll have three more great categories for you and our end-of-the-year choices for those critical categories. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you then.
See you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us next time for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.